You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul and I have a very special guest with me today. He started from the bottom and made it all the way to MTV. He's been living the drone life for a few years, maybe more than that, depending on how you look at commercial operations. But he's here today to help us better understand what the key performance indicators are, the keys to success, what has been working for him. We also want to learn what didn't work for him. We're going to hear all of that, and then I think we're going to end it with a little bit of remote ID talk. Jake, I want to hear from your perspective. How would this affect your business? How would this affect your friends who fly? So we're going to get into that. I know it's a lot, but welcome to the show, Jake Levesque from Las Vegas.
My man, Paul. Thanks for having me.
I blew it up that time.
Sorry. Love hanging out with you. Thanks for having me. Seriously.
Oh, no, you're a phenomenal friend. You really are. And your style is incredible.
Thank you.
I mean, seriously, you've been helping us out so much on YouTube productions, and you've been doing a great job, and you have been steadily gaining a reputation to just have phenomenal quality over and over again. And I think it's just so important to talk about what has been working for you. So, Jake, how did you even get into flying?
Well, it all started when my buddy just became a real estate agent, and he said that drones are getting really popular in real estate right now. You should buy a drone and fly for me. So I went out and bought a Phantom 3 Standard, launched it up the first day I had it at this house that he had ready. I backed it up into a tree, and it came inches from hitting my brand new Corvette.
Okay, so hold on.
Literally.
You bought a drone.
Yep.
You flew it.
Had no idea what I was doing. Never researched drones. I'm like, let's just launch it.
You drive a Corvette?
I had a Corvette. I had my midlife crisis. I had my midlife crisis at 40 years old.
Gotcha. And that was the party present?
I had it for a year. It was way too expensive. It was fun though, but way too expensive. And I got rid of it. But
Gotcha. So, okay, back to the story. You almost literally dent, crash, scratch, ding.
That close.
The Corvette. Almost.
That close, yeah. That close. And the kicker was, I realized after I crashed it, these aren't plug and play. You have to learn how to fly them. And I had to wait for parts to come in before I could fix it and do it all over again. Sorry. Is this better? Sorry. Yeah, so I had to wait for parts. And while I was waiting the 2 weeks for those parts to come in, I started researching drone lessons, drone schools. That's actually how I came upon you. There was actually two schools going on at the time when I started getting into this. I think it was the Drone Boss, and he just seems like he's someone that you don't want to be involved with. It's just gimmicky, trying to get your money or whatever. And then I found you guys, where you guys actually offer classes, not asking money from me, where that guy's like, give me your money up front, and then I can guarantee you industry business. You guys never guaranteed anything. You never said that. You just said, we're going to teach you how to fly. And that's how I found you.
Awesome. Well, I'm sorry to hear of a negative experience, but really happy that you found a home here in the community, because you have really become a fabric of the community. You have really helped other people, and you have really done some amazing jobs. So after you had this failure, this near miss of the Corvette, where did it go from there? What, I mean, like, obviously you found a school, you found the community, but what did you start doing?
So then I started my own business called Vertical Drone Services, where it was just all based on real estate. So I just started flying real estate. But then I realized you can't just film the outside. You got to film the inside of the house too. So I launched that drone in the inside of a house. That lasted 2 seconds, landed the drone. I was like, heck no, I'm not flying a drone inside a house. So I went out and bought my first DSLR and started filming interiors of the house, which made the videos all that much better. I mean, they were pretty crappy at first.
You have to start somewhere.
You got to start. But they eventually got better, started learning new things, and it just grew from there.
Okay, so there's a couple things that I'm hearing you say, which is the fact that you did groundwork. You bought a DSLR. Droning is what you got into.
Yes.
But DSLR was ancillary to the drone. But it sounds like when you add those things together, you have more of like a comprehensive package.
You do.
So do you also take photos?
I do take photos.
So you really offer the whole gamut.
Yeah, and I think you have to, because everyone wants a one-stop shop. Nobody wants to hire a drone guy, hire an interior guy, and then hire a photographer. They don't want that. You have to be able to do it all to be successful.
Yeah.
Education. Just get on YouTube, learn everything from YouTube. You don't have to go to school for any of this stuff. Let your creative side come out. Start your own business.
I will say there's something about confidence in owning your productions. I think it's even something that I've been going through, because like while it may seem I have a lot of confidence on the show, I would say that I'm actually rather insecure about some of my production skills, because I've seen so many people grow. They're doing awesome, and I have to remind myself that's really not a good way to kind of, you know, think about it. And go ahead.
It's not. But every one of my videos, I know, it's all right, it's
Jake, it is cold. It is cold here, I'm sorry. Man.
But every one of my videos I watch, I hate them. I think I did something wrong in them. And then I have another group that critiques them, and they tell me how good it is. And then I get my confidence back. But I'm just, everyone will always be critical of themselves. You got to ignore the noise. Just put stuff out there. You'll get better. And 90% of the time, it's pretty good anyways, so.
Yeah, agreed, 100%. Couldn't agree more. But, you know, I'm even gaining confidence in my productions, because I'm like you, I've been filming a vlog myself for about 7 years, but I have not posted a single video.
Why is that, Paul?
Well, because I had a feeling that I would learn more and more and more, and that I would better understand how I could use my footage, mm-hmm. so that when the time came to tell the story would be told in such a phenomenal way. But then I realized that it wouldn't really be that phenomenal, because my stylistic shots are nowhere near as good as yours. So, I mean, guys, like literally his work is so good, and I'm going to play some of it here, but I love the way that you transition through the shots. The in-camera transitions.
Yeah, those are actually fun to do. I recommend those. I edit with Final Cut, by the way. And I have more enjoyment making my own transitions versus using the basic Final Cut transitions. Like just panning a camera to the left, and then my next shot, I'm coming in from the left, and you just stitch them together, and it looks like this seamless, beautiful shot that just comes out.
So you're not even using a transition. You're literally just blading each clip.
Blading, speed ramping, doing everything on your own. And it just feels so much better than using a basic. Like if I see a cross dissolve, stuff like that, I just go, ugh. I don't want any of that
you're
stuff
like,
in my
oh,
video.
Looks like my dad made that in PowerPoint.
There are places for them, but.
Well, I understand a cross dissolve as a change of time.
Yes.
And so, like, I'm not sure the people, and I didn't even for a while think of certain transitions to showcase certain stylistic cues, but it's very powerful. Okay, so you were filming real estate, sold these packages, right? Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about your style. Before we get into your favorite drone and favorite camera, where did it go from real estate all the way to MTV? How did that happen?
So the MTV was lucky. It's usually about who you know, and I just happened to meet the host of the MTV show, The Challenge. We became pretty good friends, and he just happened to be filming another season in Thailand. And I scuba dove, he scuba dives, so he said, hey, do you want to come to Thailand and scuba dive with me? I got you covered. So I just went with him as his friend, and he knew I was into drones, and then he just kept on pushing the director to, hey, let Jake fly your drones. Jake can do this, Jake can do that, let him fly the drones. And the director kept on saying, no, because Thailand, on production, they're actually pretty strict, and you have to hire your own, a Thai visual observer. So they actually do
have- like a Thai citizen.
Thai citizen, gotcha. Which had to be with the drone guy the entire time. So I went out on my own and just got all this epic B-roll of Thailand. I mean, it looks like the movie Avatar, the stuff I got. Gave the guy my memory card, and he ended up using it on the show. And watching the show a few months later and then seeing my shots come up was such a great feeling. It's like
one of the best feelings in the world.
I wasn't even paid for it, but it just felt amazing. And then that led into me going back with him as a guest to Spain. And while I was with him in Spain, the director of photography launched a Mavic, and he didn't have any idea what he was doing. So I walked up to him and told him I have my own drone business. Can I help you out? Can I be your visual observer? He goes, well, we're off tomorrow. Do you want to come out with the crew and show us how to fly these drones? So I spent the entire day flying drones with him on a beach in Spain, And on the way back to the hotel, he said, I'm going to call the director. You're going to be filming the show tomorrow. And the next night, I was flying the entire episode, all the drone shots were mine. And
that's
that was
awesome.
A great feeling.
But that's awesome.
This is even better feeling than that. I had to go home. And then 7 days later, MTV sends me a plane ticket back and says, come back and finish the show flying the drones and we'll pay you. So I ended up going back to Spain for another 2 weeks, finished the episode with some epic drone shots.
Oh,
it was a good
man.
Time. It was
man.
A good time.
Do you feel like as a drone pilot that you're almost on this epic adventure that it's like a safari?
The opportunities that I've had just from the drones alone has made my life so much more fulfilling. Like I've been to Spain, I've been to Iceland, Thailand, the DR, I've been everywhere. And that's all started because of my drones.
Man.
Yeah.
Man. I don't know if you heard the episode recently, we were talking about the bartering for your footage at hotels. Have you had any success with utilizing your skills as a drone pilot to acquire free nights at a hotel or even adventures or anything like that?
I was hired by a production company to go shoot a fashion show in the Punta Cana, the DR, and they traded our footage for a free stay in their hotel. So we were able to do the entire fashion show just by trading our footage. They gave us the free room. So yeah, I mean, I haven't done it personally, but the company that I worked for, they took our footage and you stay here, we'll give you this. It was, yeah, that works. So
yeah.
And I do know a lot of people that have went on vacation, flew their drone, got the footage. Hey, can I come back next time if I give you this footage? And they usually say yes.
Wow. Oh, so that's a key point too. Hey, if I come back next time.
Yeah.
Key points here. Learning a lot from Jake Levesque here in windy and cold Las Vegas.
It is cold. So I'm shaking a little bit. It's not because I'm nervous. If you watch my vlog, I'm not nervous anymore. It's really cold.
Oh, man. What an adventure. What an adventure you've had. And it's gone from real estate to MTV. And where is your focus now? What are you working on now?
So right now I'm into social media advertising. Not that I'm a little less drones. I've just realized that the drone is just a tool. And I want to have more tools in my toolbox. So now I'm really into mirrorless cameras, really into drones, got into fashion photography, fashion videoing, product photography, stuff like that. I've been doing that a lot and I'm really digging it right now.
Wow. You got a lot going on. Okay, so let's get into some meat and potatoes. All right?
Let's go.
What is your favorite drone?
Mavic 2 Zoom.
Ooh.
Mavic.
Did you?
Yeah, I said Zoom. I didn't say Pro.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, I feel a little tension.
Yeah. Because what were you going to say? What's your favorite Mavic? What's your favorite Mavic?
Well.
Wait, what was your favorite Mavic?
I would say my favorite drone for photography still is the Mavic 2 Pro.
Well, yeah, if you go that way. But when we first started talking about the Mavics, what did you say?
Mavic 2 Pro all the way, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And now it's funny because I literally have a backpack in that room with a Mavic 2 Pro and a Mavic 2 Enterprise. Yeah. And it's the Enterprise is the zoom. It just has like the lights and the strobe and whatnot. So yes, you've turned me to the dark side.
I have.
All right.
And what people need to understand about the Mavic 2 Zoom, yeah, it's crappy and low light, all that stuff too. But the cinematic shots you can get with that, the parallax, I wish I could bring that footage up. I flew around a American flag on top of a mountain, zoomed in on it, spun that drone around the flag, and the background just spins, and it looks so creamy. It's amazing.
Oh, man. That so buttery smooth has
buttery
now gone
smooth
to
is
creamy.
Way to go. Creamy. Creamy. Whoops.
Oh, man, Jake, you are fun to have on the show. Okay, so let's talk about remote ID really quick.
Okay, let's do it.
But so is Mavic 2 Zoom your favorite drone?
It is my favorite. But I do own both. They're, like I said, tools in your toolbox. I do own both. But if I'm going to fly video, the Zoom's going up in the air.
Okay. All right. What is the one drone you want to get? After everything you saw today.
Probably that. I'm sorry. I would say the Autel, but after I saw that waterproof drone, I want the waterproof drone.
Really?
I do. I want that drone.
You know what's funny about that drone? And we're coming to you live from CES 2020, but you'll see our CES video come out. But that drone, that company, I feel like in the past looked like kind of like a cheap knockoff company, but that drone was legit. It was super legit. I mean, the fact that you could take it apart and Sydney just takes it apart right in front of us. Yeah. And she's like, or you can use it at home as a camcorder or a super intense security and surveillance system that will auto track people.
Like, did you see it hit the waterfall or just go up through that waterfall?
And flying through the waterfall? Yeah.
I mean, it was bending the props and still elevating.
Oh, yeah. That I'm surprised that you said that. But you know what? That drone has a lot of power and I think it'll be fun to fly that thing. So, all right. Remote ID. I think it's so important for everyone to write intellectual comments that showcase a story of how remote ID would affect them positively or negatively. And they shouldn't cut, copy, and paste when they make their comments on the NPRM. But what are your feelings about the proposed remote ID?
Before the proposal came out, it was kind of exciting to hear we're going to have a system, make the skies safer, all that other stuff. Once it came out, the first thing that came to me was privacy and how many people are going to try to find me and cause trouble when I'm flying my drone. Because everyone thinks you're looking in their window, you're watching people sunbathe in the backyard, and now they're going to have access to know exactly where I'm standing with my controller and come confront me. I think that's bad news.
Yeah, I think it's bad news as well. It's actually something that kind of scares me, to be honest with you. What do you think is a good solution then?
Don't make that public. I understand officials can have my location, but I don't want the public to have my location.
Gotcha.
Not at all. And I'm into FPV racing now, and that is actually going to destroy the FPV world. I mean, you have to fly it in an AMA regulated park. Who does that?
That becomes a FRIA after they get their waiver.
Right.
Yeah.
So that whole sport's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Frankly, I'm not excited about remote ID. I'm a proponent of broadcast only, no network based, unless it's like drone delivery, because then they're just tracking the drones. They're not tracking people. Right. And if law enforcement wants to see my location via broadcast, Merry Christmas, but not the public.
Right. And how did you feel when you first heard about remote ID when they said,
Did you not see my reaction in the news?
No. when what's it been 3 years they've been talking about it or trying
they've been
to
talking,
get?
They've been talking about remote ID for a
and
very
it was
long time.
Pretty exciting. Like
it
we
was.
We thought we were going to make the world a safer place, but now we're just endangering people
and mass surveillance. But anyway,
yeah, Joe, it's a good point.
Yeah. So
don't get my tinfoil hat on.
No, it's not that. It's just
but
that,
no, but
like,
it's true.
Let me ask you a question. If
ask away.
If the FAA were to work with another agency. Well, they're a part of DOT, okay? Mm-hmm. So what if DOT were to implement a network-based system for cars and everyone else could see where everyone else's car was? Because like we have so many Teslas and EVs now, and let's just say they wanted to sell it as, we have network-based license plate systems now so that when you get broken down in the middle of nowhere, someone will come and save you. But really, now everyone can see where everyone else's super expensive EVs are.
Right. And now I can find out where you live. I can track you everywhere. It's not safe.
How do you think that would go over with the general American public?
It would never work. You know what? They would have a loud voice because there's so many of us. And I think that's what we have to do with remote ID. I think people do have to get up off their butts, start typing their own comments, and let the FAA or whoever put this whole thing together, we need to get out there, voice our concerns, and revise it, basically.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree more. So for everyone listening out there, make sure that you comment on the NPRM. It is in the public comment section of NPRM under remote ID, and the link will be in the show notes below. Again, don't cut, copy, and paste. Tell your story. How is it going to affect you? What do you like? What do you don't like? Be succinct, and then tell your story. So, Jake, dude, you've been having crazy success. And honestly, I'm super stoked for you.
It's been a ride. Thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I wish everyone to have the same success I do, but it just takes a lot of drive. And you just got to get out there and do it.
If there was one thing you could tell drone pilots, like, this is the one thing I really needed to learn before I was successful, or the one thing I needed to overcome, what do you think that was?
for me, since I'm really into cinematics, I would say don't just learn to fly the drone. Understand the camera too, because that camera is what is making you that money. That camera is the one getting that shot. Learn everything about cameras, frame rates, ISO, and of course, learn how to be a pretty cool pilot like Paul, because I've seen him fly today or the other day. Wow.
Thanks, man. Wow. I appreciate
that. Wait, do you see the footage he got?
Hey, man, just that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
God. So
like,
much
seriously,
fun.
Yeah. You know, we're riding in this at Can-Am, and I haven't jumped something since I was probably like 14 or 15 years old. Okay, maybe I jumped my Land Rover a couple times in college. But,
but that was an accident. Yeah. This was on purpose.
And man, that was a blast, dude.
It was so much fun.
That's one thing I love about this community is you can just travel and hang out with other drone pilots, other people who have similar interests, and it's a lot of fun, you know?
It is, and you actually make me want to go out and take a subject tracking class now, because when I saw that drone so close to my Can-Am, I was like, there's no way this is possible. And you were doing it. So it was pretty cool.
Thanks, man.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
That. Well, I don't know if you were trying to like softball a way in for me to be like, hey, you know, there's a subject tracking class in March.
Oh, no. But hey, look. That was not a shameless plug.
So, yeah, check it out. Actually, it's going to be in Austin, Texas in March. But, Jake, I really appreciate having you on the show, man. Thank you.
Not a problem. I had a blast. Thank you.
Well, that's going to do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again for listening in to another episode of Ask Drone You. If you have a question, don't be afraid to go and upload your question. AskDroneYou.com. And thanks again for watching another episode of ADU.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone You.